Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School, a place where we teach the Word of God, the commission that Jesus gave his disciples. They're called, was to go and teach all nations. That is, to make disciples. The word means disciplined learners. Christians need to be disciplined in what they learn. And what we learn at the God School is the Word of God, because it shows God is faithful, and when we come to know that, that is, that God is faithful, we come to a disciplined lifestyle of faith. Now, I'm talking to myself first this morning. I want you to know I am as much in need of this message, if not more, than any of you who are listening. Paul says in the opening of his epistle to the Romans, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's back up. It says in the seventh verse, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Called, King James says, called to be. That's not what it says. The to be is in italics. It says, called saints. Now, we've been here before. If you haven't been here before, it bears repeating. You might say, in the world's understanding of what a saint is, I ain't no saint. You might say that of yourselves. Well, I certainly, as the world terms it, would not call myself a saint. But as God's word teaches, this word translated saints in the original just has to do with commitment. It's not a one-time commitment. I've come to learn it's a daily commitment, sometimes reduced to an hourly or a minute-by-minute commitment, but nonetheless called committed. It means to commit in the fullness of its meaning, to commit it unto God. I want to do justice in attempting to describe the relationship that we are having with God through and in Jesus Christ. At one point, Paul calls it a fight of faith. I certainly know that one. I think some of y'all also know it. I'm here to encourage. At the same time, I'm here to help through God's word make disciplined learners of God's word in order that we might fight a good fight of faith. In the 11th verse of chapter 1, Paul says, "For I, speaking to the Romans, whom he had never seen," this was not a church that he was responsible for establishing. It says, "For I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established," and if we were going to complete the thought here, be established in faith. He'll go on to say in the 15th verse, "So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. I am ready to preach the good news of God to the whole world. The God School is available to the whole world. He says, "For I am not," and I am with Paul, "for I am not ashamed of the good news of the deliverer." For I, King James says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," what? The gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, the God spiel of Christ, the word of God of Christ, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that faiths, Oh, my Bible doesn't read that way. Well, just don't have time to go into all the etymologies of the words today, but go along with me. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, where? In the gospel, is a righteousness from God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You say, I've heard this before, and so have I. But as I opened and said, I'm talking to myself today, you happen to be recipients, perhaps, of that which I need. The just, let's read it right. The righteous shall live by faith. The gospel, the power of God unto salvation. In it is a righteousness, not of ourselves, but from God revealed. Now, this may be a short message today. I'm not sure. We'll see where we are led. I spent 3 days this week playing golf with, by all words and appearances, 4 men who wouldn't know God if he were standing right in front of them. I'm not suggesting I am. I hope you understand that. But there was something in me that really did want to communicate the grace and gospel of God to them. At this time, that is this morning, I have no evidence that anything that I may have said or done turned any lights on for them with regard to the truth of God, to his existence, to his mighty power, to his great love wherewith he loved us. I fell short of that. And, you know, there have been moments since we said our goodbyes that the devil has attempted to show me how far short I have fallen in the efforts of communicating the Word of God. But the Word of God tells me it is not my words that are going to cause anybody to be saved. The Word is very clear. No man comes to God save the Spirit of God draw him. And I'm not excusing myself, but what I'm here to do is to those to whom God has drawn by his Spirit to himself, I'm here to teach, to encourage, to exegete, to encourage. I know I said it before, I say it again, to encourage you in this journey, in this fight of faith, for by faith the righteous shall live. I know these verses as well as any in the scripture. Yet I failed to speak them. I am going to speak them this morning. For my sake, and for yours, and perhaps, just perhaps, one of them may. Log into the God School and hear what I've failed to tell them over those 3 days. I want to take you with me this morning to the third chapter of Romans, beginning in the 20th verse. Martin Luther, known as the father of the Reformation, spake of these verses that we're about to go into as the central verses of the book of Romans, as the central verses of the gospel, as the central verses of the whole Bible. And with that introduction, let's dig in. Got to start at the 19th verse. Got to start somewhere. Let's go to the 19th verse. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world be subject to the judgment of God, or as the King James says, that all the world may become guilty before God. And therefore he concludes, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. The word, I'm going to change it as I read. I'm sorry, the King James translators, they're not consistent. The Greek is consistent. The word is a DK word, and it properly translated should read righteousness. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his, that is God's, sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. No one could perform it. God said if you could, you'd live forever. But all have been dying ever since. Therefore, the purpose of the law was to teach man he was a sinner. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. One thing I am grateful to the law for. It taught me I am a sinner. I don't know if I've ever told this story, but the first Bible I ever got, and I won't go into long detail, I was an adult, and I opened it, and I read it. I opened it with enthusiasm, and I'm not telling you I read it cover to cover, but everywhere I read, it told me I was a sinner, and therefore I hated it. But I read it not with a teacher. I read it not with a pastor. I read it not without the understanding of God's Spirit. It was doing its purpose. It was showing me I was a sinner. I just didn't have the rest. But here's the rest. But now, if you've got your Bibles open and you don't have it underlined or circled or highlighted, do it now, because this is so important. But now, a righteousness. God's righteousness is not exclusive to, I mean, we saw his righteousness made manifest when he gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai and the rest of the law his righteousness on display. He said, you know, if you do this, you'll live forever. That's a righteousness of God. There's no definite article here in the Greek when it says, but now, not the, a righteousness of God without the law is manifested, without the law is revealed. A righteousness of God without the law is revealed. It's being witnessed. It is, this righteousness is being witnessed by the law and the prophets. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus as he was transfigured in the eyes of his disciples. They witnessed. Moses, the type of the law. Elijah, the type of the prophets. They were witnesses to this, but now a new righteousness, not a new righteousness of God, but newly revealed righteousness of God to us, newly revealed to us a righteousness of God, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Again, not even the, not, again, even the righteousness, no. The Latin's, the Greek is consistent. Even a righteousness, no definite article. Even a righteousness of God, I got to give you the full translation, which is by the, now you have a definite article, the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that faith, for there is no difference. If we had Semitic translations of this 22nd verse, it would say, even a righteousness of God, which is by the amen of Jesus Christ, that is the no doubt, that is the faith, that is the grabbing hold of God's word, that is acting on the promises of God, as though they are more real because God spoke them than anything that we see, hear, or feel. Hebrews 11 says God spoke and nothing became everything. His word is more substantial, and faith is grabbing hold of that word and acting upon it as though, which it is, as though it is more real than anything we may see, feel, or encounter in this fleshly life. And this righteousness came and is available by the faith of Jesus Christ. He was a faither. God said if Jesus would do what he did, that he would raise him up and give him a name above every name. He committed all that he was unto God his Father, who had made that promise to him. And he died. Dead. Buried. Dead. And every account of his resurrection, that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, says whom God has raised up. God is faithful. God does what he says. He can be trusted. Even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones faithing, not believing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This word being translated sin in the Greek, the word is hamartia, and it means to fall short. Oh, there may be this little fleshly act or that little fleshly act which may have some godly appearance in it, but the scripture is clear: all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the power of God, the power of God unto salvation in the gospel of Jesus Christ now is declaring, being righteousified freely by his grace. That is, by the grace of God. That is, by the unmerited favor of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have now available to us a righteousness of God by grace, freely, that is, excuse me, I thought we were going to make it through, but we still shall. Being righteousified freely, that is, without cost, that is, without works, that is, without merit of our own, but by the price paid by Jesus Christ, that is, through the redemption, that is, the price paid, that is, in Christ Jesus, whom God King James really does not do justice to what Paul wrote. I'm going to give you the best I can translation, and that through hours and hours of teaching by my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, who went through this verse in over a dozen languages, most of which were translations done before the influences of the church after the fourth century, after the fifth century after Christ. Some influenced this word to make it, and this is a pejorative word now, churchy. That is, somehow or other, man's influence on the word. I'm going to read it the way I got it from Dr. Scott, who put it on display in more than a dozen ancient languages. It says, being righteousified freely by his God's unmerited favor through the price paid that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set before his face forever to be a hilasterion. Propitiatory is a better translation. That is the place in the Holy of Holies, where once a year the priest would go in with the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkle it on the elements within that Holy of Holies. And if the sacrifice were acceptable, God, in what is known as the Shekinah, would come and meet on that mercy seat and commune with the high priest, the type and representative of the people whom God has set forth to be a hilasterion, a place where he would meet us, that is, in Jesus Christ. That's the place we meet God, or God, better put, meets us. Through faith in his blood. That is, that price paid by Jesus, his life, was sufficient. To pay for our short fallen condition. Whom God has set forth before his face forever to be the place that is in Christ Jesus, where God would meet with us through faith in his blood to declare God, his righteousness, God's righteousness. For the passing over of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Wait a minute. God passed over? For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. We're talking about God's righteousness. That he might be, King James again says just, no, that he might be righteous and the righteous fire of him which is fading or has the faith of Jesus Christ. When we act in faith, when we grab hold of those promises of God, the power of the gospel unto salvation is God puts his Spirit in us and he puts us in Christ Jesus. And no more sees short-fallen Don or short-fallen Steve or short-fallen Mary or short-fallen Gabby, but sees Jesus. Now, Paul has made these astounding statements, and he goes and he says, where's the boasting then? Because we have just spoken in these 6 verses of what God is doing, of what God has done, of what God is doing, of what God will do. So Paul asks, where is the boasting then on our part? We be beneficiary recipients of the grace of God, being freely righteousified by the faith of Jesus Christ, by the price he paid to redeem us. Where is the boasting then? It's excluded. It's knocked out of the park. I'm using phrases I learned from Dr. Scott. It's collared like a dog. It's put in its place. The boasting on our part is excluded. He'll go on in later chapters and speak of boasting, of good boasting, and that is boasting of God. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm boasting because I'm reading Paul's words wherein he boasts of God, not of himself. Where is the boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Oh, there are many in the church who, when they get before the judgment seat of Christ, who are going to boast of their works. Didn't we do thus and such? Jesus is going to say, be gone from me, I never knew you. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, Paul goes on to say in the 28th verse, we conclude that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law. The Greek is even more dramatic. Therefore, we are driven to speak. Logistomai is the word, the root meaning from log, meaning to speak. Or choose, we are driven to the conclusion wherein we do speak that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law, because this is a righteousness of God, which He freely gives without merit, unmerited favor to those who are faithing in God. And as the Ephesian letter says, even that is a gift of God. It's of God, folks. It's all of God, and therefore God gets all the glory. Jesus, God our helper, His name defined, gets all the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That is no doubt. And having heard and having received this, we say, thank you. For your grace and your gift of faith as we continue on this journey in 2018, will you say with me, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. No doubt. Thank you, Father. We made it through 2018 by faith. A wonderful gift of God. And that's the God School for today.